A lot of people say that they don't read the Bible because they don't understand it. And as a Christian, I feel like it's my duty to teach it to you. Welcome to the Ghetto Bible Tales. I'm your host, Jerrica, and here we talk about biblical and spiritual things in a comical yet understandable way. We're going to learn, but we're going to laugh too. So grab your Bibles and your sense of humor and get ready for this. Y'all, it's your girl Jerrica, and I am finally back with yet another Ghetto Bible Tale. And today we're going to discuss the time that dude died from touching the Ark of the Covenant. So get ready for this one. All right, y'all. Before we can get into this story, y'all already know how this go. We must first discuss the rules of context. I have a video on my channel that is dedicated to the rules of context that breaks it down with more detail. But for the sake of this video, we're just going to run right through them real fast. The first rule is language. The Bible wasn't originally written in English. It was originally written in ancient Hebrew and ancient Greek. I feel like that is something you should take into consideration when you're studying. Rule number two goes hand in hand with rule number one, and that is history and culture. The Bible history and culture is of ancient Israel. You cannot apply the rules of your modern day culture to the Bible, not even modern day Israel culture. The third rule is reading the Bible as a whole from beginning to end, Genesis to Revelations. Stop cutting it up and taking bits and pieces and expanding them on grand scales to make them mean something that they don't actually mean. It's one cohesive body of work, and it should be looked at and studied at in that way. The final rule of context is the Holy Spirit. Before you will ever be able to understand anything in this Bible, you have to talk to God. You have to pray to the Lord your God. Get Him to bestow His Holy Spirit upon you, and it will teach you everything you need to know that is in this book. Once you gain an understanding of the rules of context, we can proceed on in our story. The story about the Ark of the Covenant takes place in 2 Samuel chapter 6. At this point in the Bible, David is the king of all of Israel. I want to say he reigned for like 40 years. And during his reign, he regains... he acquires the land in Jerusalem back, and he makes it the capital of Israel. Because before David, it belonged to somebody else. I don't remember which set of people had it before David, but it belonged to somebody else. And David fought many wars and killed many Philistines and a lot of non-Israelites to regain a lot of the promised land back, because they lost a lot of it. And he regained a lot of it through war. And y'all know David was a formidable warrior. And he regained a lot of the land. The final piece that he did regain was Jerusalem, and he made it the capital of Israel. So, as you can imagine, with all of this land being acquired by other people, the Ark of the Covenant, it had changed hands a lot. Ended up in various places. I did a video about a year or two ago about the god Dagon, and the Ark of the Covenant had ended up in Dagon's temple. I'll leave a link to that video in the description box. But a long time ago, I want to say it was the Philistines that ended up taking the Ark of the Covenant, and they took it to their city. And when they took it to their city, it made people sick and blah, blah, blah. So they ended up moving it to a temple, the Temple of Dagon, and there, the Ark of the Covenant, it pretty much destroyed their temple. It made their god bow to the Ark of the Covenant and all type of things. So you really need to go check out that video. But when that happened in that temple, those people took that, they took the Ark of the Covenant and they put it on the back of a cart, and they just hit the booty of the cow and made the thing leave. For those of you that don't even know what the Ark of the Covenant is, the Ark of the Covenant is basically a fancy box. It is made of gold. It's a box or a chest. It's made of gold, and it has a lot of intricate decorations on it. Inside of the box, it has the Ten Commandment tablets, and it also has a gold jar of manna. For those of you that don't know what manna is the bread of heaven. It is the dough that God would rain down on the children of Israel when they were making their, when they were traveling from Egypt to the promised land and they didn't have food. He would rain down manna, and they would use it to fix bread and make food, and they would eat it. So there is a jar of manna inside of the Ark of the Covenant, and Aaron's staff. So Aaron's staff, a jar of manna, as well as the Ten Commandments. These are the three things that are inside of the Ark of the Covenant. At the point of the beginning of this story, the Ark of the Covenant is at the home of a man named Abinadab. And so the Ark of the Covenant had been sitting at Abinadab's house for years. And while it has been sitting there, his house has been blessed extremely. He has increased in livestock and money and stuff like that. So his house has been blessed, all because the Ark of the Covenant was there. And I'm assuming that he's an Israelite, because when the Ark of the Covenant was amongst people who weren't of Israel, bad things happened. Like when it was in that Philistine city, everybody in the city got sick. People started dying. When it was in that temple, everything started crumbling and falling apart. But when it was, but every time it ended up in the house of an Israelite, that house would be. David found out that the Ark of the Covenant was at this man's house, and he wanted it back. The Ark of the Covenant had a lot of symbolism for the children of Israel. It was a representation of God's divine presence, as well as they would take it with them whenever they went into battle, because it just made everybody feel so strong and empowered just to have that with them, and it was a symbol of God's presence. And so David wanted to return that to the new Israel, because he reacquired all of the promised land, and they need the Ark of the Covenant at the temple that he plans to build, which actually he ends up not even building a temple. I think Solomon ends up building a temple, but either way, David wanted to have the Ark of the Covenant back in the central point of Israel, which was Jerusalem at the time. So he sends word to Abinadab and his family to send the Ark of the Covenant back. Abinadab has two sons. Y'all, I'm about to butcher these names. They're at the bottom of the screen, but I'm gonna try to pronounce them. Their names are Ahio and Uzzah. So Ahio and Uzzah load the ark upon a cart. A cart being pulled, I'm assuming by a cow or a horse or whatever, but they load it on the back of it and they're going down a hill. So meanwhile, while Abinadab's sons are trying to transport the Ark of the Covenant, David and Israel are having a parade and rejoicing because the Ark of the Covenant is returning home. While the boys are moving the Ark of the Covenant down this hill, so the ox is pulling the cart, tripped. And when the ox tripped, the ark starts to fall off the back of the cart. And Uzzah, out of reflex, grabs at the cart and dies when he touches it. So the big question becomes, why? Well, for those of you that don't know, God is a God of decency and order, and he has a way that he likes things to be carried out. So for those of you that don't know, there was a specific way the Ark of the Covenant was supposed to be moved. We find this out in the early parts of the Bible, in Leviticus, I think, and Deuteronomy, where God give everybody the rules and regulations. And so, rule number one, the Ark of the Covenant is not to be touched by anyone but a priest. So if you're not a priest, you weren't supposed to even put your hands on the Ark of the Covenant. And honestly, you're supposed to be a Levite. That's rule number one. A Levite is supposed to move the Ark of the Covenant. A Levite is the only one that's supposed to actually touch it. Because mind you, Aaron was a Levite, Moses was a Levite, and they both had touched this Ark of the Covenant before, and nothing ever happened to them. So mind you, rule number one is you're supposed to be a Levite. If you're not a Levite, you're not even supposed to be touching this thing. That's rule number one. Rule number two, the Ark of the Covenant is supposed to be carried. It's not supposed to be on the back of a cart being pulled by an ox. No, it's not. God laid down that rule that there were bars on the side, kind of like, and the Levites would line up on each side and carry it. And within that, there was a specific set of Levites that were responsible for carrying it. I want to say it was the Kohathites. I think the Kohathites were the section of the Levites that were responsible for holy items. And the Ark of the Covenant falls into the holy items. They were usually the ones that carried the Ark of the Covenant. But like I said, at this point in the Bible, Israel has pretty much forgotten about everything that God has told them. And God chose this moment to remind them of who he was and what he said for them to do. So like I said, rule number one, he's supposed to be a Levite. Rule number two, it ain't supposed to be on the back of no cart being pulled by no ox. You're supposed to be carrying it. The question, I guess, is the Ark of the Covenant had changed hands so many times and people didn't die. But why, when this young man touched it, he died? I think the answer is pride. Within the movement of this ark, nobody consulted God. Everybody just thought that they was doing the right thing. But it's not about what you think you're doing. You have to consult God no matter what. For every move you make, you have to consult God. And that was the first slip up in this, because these are children of Israel. They're supposed to know God. They're supposed to know of God's ways. And they didn't within this instant. And God decided to remind them of who he was and what he said for them to do. And it was very powerful on David's behalf to even send and tell them to bring. It was very powerful on David's behalf to even tell them that they need to bring the Ark of the Covenant to him. Because you know better. You know that thing can't be carried by nobody but Levites. You know that. You know it can't be transported on the back of a cart. You know that. So he let pride get in the way, because he was so overjoyed with the fact that they got all this land back, and he wanted to look like the big guy in Israel and bring the Ark of the Covenant back. But you didn't consult God. And because of that, a man died. I feel like David had good intentions, and so did Uzzah. He had good intentions too. And they thought they were doing the right thing. But good intentions mean nothing if God ain't involved. So David's good intentions got a man killed. I firmly believe that Uzziah would not have died if David had consulted God in the beginning. But he didn't. And because of that, this young man. Nah. It wasn't until Uzziah died that David finally consulted God. Because he was actually distraught, because he was like, this kid died touching. Like, God, what do you want from me? I'm trying to bring this thing back to Jerusalem, and I'm trying to bring glory back to Israel, and you let this young man die. It wasn't until he talked to God after Uzziah died that he realized, oh, I messed up. The Ark of the Covenant is where it fell, which is near Abinadab's house where Uzzah died. And a man by the name of Obed-Edom, he takes the ark to his house. What we find out is that Obed-Edom is a descendant of Korah. Therefore, he is a Kohathite slash Levite, which means he can touch the Ark of the Covenant and not die. That is why, let me just throw out, this is why it's important to read the genealogy in the Bible, because I used to think that that was so pointless, because there are long chapters of the Bible where they're going by so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so, and they had 6 kids. And I used to skip over that like, oh my God, this is so tedious. But had I not read that Obed-Edom was a descendant of Korah, I would have never even put 2 and 2 together that he was a Levite. If I hadn't read that, I would have been like, well, why was he so special and why could he touch it? Well, Obed-Edom is a Kohathite, and a Kohathite is a section of Levite. So Obed-Edom, By God's standards, Obed-Edom could actually touch the Ark of the Covenant, and he can move it because he was a Levite. That is biblical law. So by divine law, a Kohathite slash Levite can touch the Ark of the Covenant and not die. Uzzah clearly was not a Levite. I don't think David is a Levite either. I don't know, he might be. No, he's not. David's from House of Judah, so no, he's not a Levite. But anyway, so Obed-Edom took the ark to his house. The ark stayed there 4 to 5 months. No, 3 months. It stayed there at Obed-Edom's house 3 months. And Obed-Edom was blessed the same way Abinadab was blessed. You know, overflow of good things started happening to him and his family. And because of that, David really, really, really wanted the Ark of the Covenant back in Jerusalem. And this time, he consulted God, and through obedience, he was able to finally move the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. So he does things biblically correct and by divine law, the way God intended for him to do. So they move the Ark of the Covenant, they gather, you know, a group of Levites, and they do like this whole ceremonial ritualistic thing, and they have a parade, and they take the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And then David makes like these grand sacrifices to God. 7 bulls, 7 rams. And then everybody like danced and sang all the way to Jerusalem. So it's like a big parade and everybody's just happy and dancing. So nobody dies because this was done the way God intended. There was no pride involved. God was involved from beginning to end. And the Ark of the Covenant is returned to Jerusalem and to the Israelite people. So everybody is happy. And because of this, everybody's celebrating. David is celebrating a lot, particularly because y'all know David liked to dance. So David is, you know, he dancing in the street. He dancing hard, apparently, like coming up out his clothes, like his clothes getting loose, and I guess you can see his man parts, because his wife is watching from afar and she is not impressed. This is his first wife. This is Saul's daughter. Her name is McCall, I think. McCall or Michelle, however you say it, is at the bottom of the screen. So she sees him dancing and she is very upset, and she tells him that he doing too much, basically, is what she says. And she felt like he needed to calm down and that he wasn't acting like a king, like he was acting wild and he needed to sit down somewhere. It's basically what McCall said. And when she said that, David rebuked her and cursed her. He tells her that his dancing and his celebration, it ain't for her. It ain't for to make her happy. It ain't for to please nobody else in these streets that's watching. He said that that was a moment between him and God, and he is going to serve his God and praise his God how he want to praise his God. And then he tell her that basically he will never touch her ever again, meaning she ain't gonna have no children. And you know, back then, if you was a woman and you didn't have no kids, like, you was just useless, really. Now, she would remain in his house. He would continue to take care of her. But he would never touch her again. Like, ever. Ever. No romance. No nothing. And so, basically, she becomes basically a prisoner because she can't leave him. She can't get married to nobody else. She just stuck in his house. And she had no children. The Bible ends the story by saying she had no children. So he had no more relationship with her. And that is the story of the Ark of the Covenant. But you do not have to take my word for it. You can turn your Bibles to 2 Samuel 6 chapter and read it for yourself. I think it's very important to... This story is a testament to reading the Bible as a whole, which is one of the rules of context. Yeah, because if I had not read Leviticus and known of the Levitical law and the divine law of who's supposed to touch the Ark of the Covenant, I would be confused. If I had not read 1 Chronicles, where they give me the genealogy of all these men, I would not have known that Obed-Edom was a Kohathite / Levite. So it's very important to read the Bible as a whole. Don't go and do bits and pieces. Study it from beginning to the end. But anyway, thank y'all for watching this video. I hope you like this video. Please like, comment, and subscribe. Share it with your friends. And if you would like to request a video, please leave a comment, or you can comment on my Instagram, TikTok, whatever, any of my social media pages, or you can go to yourthebiblepatels.com, go to request section, type in your request there. I do see them. I do see your messages. Thank you for watching this video, and until next time, peace out. Thanks for tuning in. All Ghetto Bible Tell episodes are posted on YouTube simultaneously in video format. You can follow Ghetto Bible Tales on all social media pages at Ghetto Bible Tales. You can also head on over to ghettobibletales.com and request a story or topic that you wish for me to discuss on the show. Once again, this has been your host, Jerrica, and this has been the Ghetto Bible Tales.